Oh, grace, mercy, and peace from our Creator and our Savior, our Lord Jesus Christ, to you today and always. So, back in high school, I considered myself somewhat popular. I mean, I was in every band imaginable. I was drum major for 2 years. I was in many of the school play productions. I was even school mascot, Tommy Trojan, my senior year, following in my brother's footsteps. Most of my teachers knew me because I was the youngest out of my three siblings who had already graduated from good old Elmhurst High School. My junior year, I remember when the yearbooks came out, and I was looking at it in the band director's office. Shout out to Mr. Terry Vaughn. It was the end of the day, and all the students were actually in the band room. They were lining up by the door waiting for the bell, and I was in that office because jazz band practice was after school. And as I was looking through the yearbook, one of the pictures that I found myself in listed me as Randy Schrader, but they spelled my name R-A-N-D-I. I'm not sure why that made me upset, but it did. Then I noticed the line of students leaving the band room early before the bell. So I ran out of the office to bring those who departed back in. But by the time I got to the doors, the dismissal bell rang. As I walked back through the band room to the office, the senior band, or the senior drum major, looked at me and said, "Randy, you need to stop trying to be everybody's mom." That made me more upset. I thought I was doing my job. And I got back to the band director's office and I tried to explain to Mr. Vaughn what had happened, what had taken place, and he said, "Randy, you got upset about your name being spelled wrong in the yearbook. And then in that anger that you're being upset, you went out and yelled at the kids who walked out before the bell." He continued, "You might not have saw it that way, but that's what we saw. And it's the truth." Well, then I was even more upset. The way I saw it, those were two different instances. And the comments from my senior drum major and my director made me even more angry. But it's like David Foster Wallace said, "The truth will set you free, but not until it's finished with you." Truth is an intriguing word or concept. We know the truth can set us free, yet truth can also be difficult to hear. And even more so to proclaim. After all, Jesus was killed for announcing the truth in God's love. The truth proclaimed by Jesus of God's love for all infuriated the social elect of his time. Jesus' declaration of the truth made those in power so angry they took his life. And today's gospel from Luke proclaims a truth we don't want to hear. And it might even make us angry. But at a minimum, it has made me think about the truth our society is dealing with. The perplexing part of this passage is when we hear Luke 8, verse 35. "Then people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they saw the man from whom the demon had gone sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid." It seems like they would have been more afraid to live with this man when he was demon-possessed. But now, they have found him at the feet of Jesus, a place where the disciples were taught, clothed and in his right mind. Now, they were even more afraid. It begs the question, why would the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes be afraid after Jesus healed this demonic-possessed man? Now, we must realize in our faith tradition and most of our society, demon possession is not familiar. In most cases, when someone talks about demon possession, we tend to end the conversation rather quickly for many reasons, if not just not to show our skeptical disinterest. So what if we look at the possessed man as a metaphor for the marginalized people in our society who are targets of racism, sexism, homophobia, and other isms. The people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes were content to put chains and shackles on the possessed man and remove him from their society. It appears that they could, if they could control this individual, they felt safer. Is that not the truth? The truth that society wishes to control the outcast, the homeless, the minority, those who are different, those of different religions, those who make us feel uncomfortable. Just keep them in their place, away from the rest of us. This man was homeless, had no clothes, probably dealing with mental illness. And instead of helping him, they removed him from his family and his community. This man represents those in society whose lives are impacted by unfair laws and social norms that weigh down and chain them to injustice and prejudice. The story points out a truth that we don't wish to hear. We are part of a system that doesn't allow God's love to be felt by all individuals. This truth drives us to look deep in a mirror and ask, what have we done to break the system that chains and shackles our neighbors in injustice and in bias? How do we consider our actions as they could affect the marginalized? We are called to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. How does the war on drugs, our current gun laws, unjust immigration laws, untruthful or at least partial truth teachings of U.S. history, including our role in slavery and murdering indigenous people, and the newer don't say gay laws affect our neighbors? How does it turn them into those who society rather keep at arm's length? These are difficult truths to discuss without feeling offended or getting mad. But we are like the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes, as we much rather place individuals we fear in the tombs, shackled, disenfranchised from society, so we know our place in society is secure. The truth is, the system in which we live chains us all. And as many times as we break from those bonds, by showing rallies and support for others, the demons, which are the systems in which we live, drive us back into the wilds and keep us there long enough where we become confused and end up repeating history time and time again. If any of you are familiar with the HBO series The Wire, you might recognize to what I am referring. The Wire illustrates the system in which we live that drives us into the wilds. The show is set in Baltimore, Maryland, as police are raging the war against drugs, specifically in the early 2000s. It reveals the crime perpetuated by criminals, as well as politicians and police. These citizens are all just trying to survive, and the political professionals are attempting to keep their political seats. It follows the life struggles of all the characters who are chained and shackled to a broken system that dominates their lives. By watching it, it reveals just how broken our system is. Or at least it's shown me a glimpse of how far we are in the wilds. We are told by Jesus to love one another as ourselves. And many wise others say it this way: what we do to others, we do to ourselves. That's why God's relationship with us is so transformational and yet scary. The love of God frees us, but it is hard for us to fully grasp because right now we live in chaos. We know eventually, eschatologically, everything will be fine. But the truth is, right now, everything is not fine. Right now, everything is far from fine. And that's why the truth is hard to hear. We want to believe what Paul says when he says in Galatians chapter 3, as many of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male and female. For all of you are one in Christ Jesus. As Jesus followers, we want to believe that because we are good people and we do good, things will be good for everyone. But we still focus on the differences between ourselves and the other. We still see Jew and Greek, male and female, black and white, gay and straight, because the system in which we live in is broken. Yet here is another truth. Here is what Jesus does. He comes to the country of the Gerasenes, as Jesus comes to us, and he steps out on our land. He welcomes the demon-possessed and sets them free. He allows those caught up in the system to witness this transformational love through God. He welcomes all to be close to him and to learn from him. Even when Jesus is rejected, he submits and does what he is asked. Jesus offers his transformational love. Then we might ask, why then? When the man was healed, when the demons have left the man, he asked Jesus to be with him and follow him. Jesus sends him away, saying, return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. And that's exactly what he does. He went away proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him. If the man would have followed Jesus, been right next to him, as Jesus traveled, no one would have known the possessed man's story. They would have seen him as just another follower. But back in the man's hometown, people recognize the man as the one who had been possessed and is now healed, transformed by his interaction with Christ. When we live in chaos, sometimes the call to be a follower of Jesus, sometimes the call to be a follower of Jesus, as we proclaim the truth and saying we are Christians, means we must share our story of how God's love has transformed us into a new being and live into that new being fully. We are called to share our belief that God's transformational love is for everyone. Jesus is with us as we look into the mirror and tell ourselves the truth of what we have done and left undone. Jesus is with us as we own our part in the broken system. Jesus is with us as we do all we can to change that system. So the system in which we live reflects the world in which God intends, a world that accepts all with no exception, a world where all are connected, a world in what we do to one, we do to ourselves. This is the truth. It's a truth that's difficult to hear and see sometimes, but it's most definitely true. I pray we are all brave enough to declare all that God has done for us in all that we do and say, because Jesus is with us. Amen.